Going better than you guys are going. Well,
you heard Mark and I discussing the economic issue.
Oh, yes, the economic issue.
I'm looking, and I think we've discussed it before, but the welfare reform is being a triggering effect for a scenarios B or C coupled with a collapse in the economy, maybe a depression or recession, deep recession. What are your views on that?
Well, there are other contributing factors that go into that, not just recession. Increase in frivolous expenditure. For example, feel-good programs to make people feel good about buying cars that they already own. Programs that are frivolous.
Dave?
Yeah, I did actually. That. But they do have programs like that. You see, the Democratic Party seems to be interested in one thing and one thing only. Power.
Well, it's the Republicans who are interested in money.
Well, money is a useful tool. Power, absolute power, does what?
Corrupt. Okay, so we've got frivolous expenditures out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Some other contributing factors.
Okay. The government bickering and arguing over factors such as shutting down the government itself. Feel-good programs that actually do nothing. For example, saving fictional endangered species, stopping alternative growth, buying external oil when the country is quite capable of supporting itself using ethanol as opposed to petroleum products. Expenditures like that drain the very financial lifeblood from the country.
Well, as remember, the country's not the one who buys the oil. Gas companies are.
The gas companies could easily buy internally.
Right.
Change over to ethanol, which works just as well as petroleum products.
But the government doesn't control
the
gas
do.
Companies.
True, they do not control the gas companies, but they can control the imports and exports. Sending military forces overseas to protect vital oil resources. One third of the United States armed forces are overseas protecting oil resources, which is frivolous when your country is quite capable of surviving totally independently without importing petroleum products. These external frivolous expenditures are a drain on the people. Because who has to pay these men that are overseas? Who has to pay for their transport? Who has to pay for their food? Who has to pay for their clothing? Who has to pay for their entertainment? You guys do. The further they are away, the more it costs. The longer they're overseas, the more it costs.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and put, for the sake of the tape, what Mark and I were discussing.
Mm-hmm.
That was the fact that, you know, the government is now working on various forms of welfare reform.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, taking welfare from illegal immigrants and minorities. By doing so, they are getting upset a group of people who, if there was a recession, wouldn't take much to go ahead and go over the limits.
Mm-hmm.
Go over the top, causing the scenarios where we do see chaos in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, is it better to hope against welfare reform or go with that?
It depends on what path you wish to go down.
Okay, explain the different paths.
Okay, let's say welfare reform doesn't happen.
Okay.
Right? But a recession does.
All right.
Okay, everybody suffers.
Right.
Everybody suffers equally. But it's not that bad, and recovery does happen. But it takes time. Takes time to get back to where you are now.
Right.
A long time. 100 years at least. Now, let us assume welfare does occur and the crash happens and all the right circumstances occur to facilitate rioting, mass disobedience, and so on. There's one of many things that can happen. One is that the government reinstitutes welfare programs, food stamps, and so on. But that doesn't really help because there is no money anyway. Because where does the money come from? The people. And the people have to pay these other people to have food. So in actual fact, they're taking money from one group and giving it to another group, forcibly, which upsets the other group. You see. Let us say that there is no reinstitution of welfare. Right? The group that is worse off, in actual fact, in the long run, is better off. Because they go through the suffering and the growth and the learning and understanding the necessary behavioral patterns that are needed to be stronger, and they will recover quicker. The people that have had money squirreled away will spend their money and spend their money and spend their money until they achieve the status of the first group. But the first group is already recovering. They know how to recover. The other group who has lived fat and luxurious lives don't. They suffer. They go to the government. They beg. They whine. They riot. They fight. They cause problems, dragging the first group back down with them. So therefore, the disobedience happens all over again, but much more nasty at this time. The government has to step in and institute programs. So things occur that forces the level of learning to be learnt the harsh way. The recovery rate in this, I should say, is about 30 to 50 years. So when they re-achieve their balance, it is not the parents, but the offspring that know how to proceed and how to go on from where they were. This brings into play an enlightened, accelerated purpose. I think Mark mentioned something along those lines, didn't he? Not as well detailed, though. So that it occurs much more rapidly in the development of the mind, because of the suffering, is needed. Whereas the long, slow, insidious decline in the first part I discussed creates a lackadaisy attitude. It prolongs the growth. It's like if you go out and prune roses. You prune them hard. The first year, they don't come back very well. The second year, they come back a bit better. And the third year, they bloom incredibly. Now, if you're only pruning them lightly, the following year, they bloom beautifully. The year after that, they bloom not so well. And they become a little bit woody and long. The third year, they bloom a few flowers, but put out quite a bit of growth, and again get very woody, and you have to prune them back hard. That is the way that scenario B and C look. The harsh pruning is scenario C. The light pruning is scenario B.
So the difference between 100 years and 30 to 50 years.
Basically, yeah.
And scenario A, the good scenario, isn't happening at all.
I don't see it happening. So you are in either B plus, A minus almost, or scenario B.
So welfare reform itself will bring about scenario C.
No, not on its own.
Quite a few contributing factors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about the fact that the middle class is shrinking? Won't that add to the bulk of the people who will get fed up with many of these different programs you're talking about as contributing factors?
Well, the definition of the middle class keeps on chopping and changing. It's really hard to define what the middle class is. To start off with, when your current president was elected, it was anybody that earned over $250,000 a year was upper class, which meant anybody below that, but to earn more than $20,000 were middle class. Then it changed that anybody that earns over $100,000, all of a sudden there's a whole group that earn $150,000 more than $100,000 that were taken out. They suddenly got shunted into the upper class, hence shrinkage. Then suddenly the middle class became anybody that earned under 70,000. Bang, there goes another load of people up into the upper class bracket. Very clever manipulation here if you think about it. What's it doing? It's creating class envy. It is creating the environment where a group of individuals that are power hungry can get control over the people that are disgruntled, the middle class and the lower class, by saying, look at all these people that have suddenly made it into the upper class, the wealthy class. Very clever move.
Yes, but won't the upper class be the ones who will be the last to learn?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though they have more opportunities and more chance to study, they really don't take advantage of that. They're only interested in enjoying the fruits of their labors.
No, you would be surprised how many are actually spiritually aware and involved.
The wives and daughters or sons.
Mm-hmm.
But not they themselves.
No. What did I say about the ones that matter? It's not the parents.
Right.
It's the kids.
Okay. Now, with that happening then, like you say, they'll be more insulated from this, but they'll still come down the ladder a ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the real learning will take place?
Correct.
But in the meantime, those who've already been through it will already be starting on the way out. Recovery.
Correct.
Oh, that's good for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be on
their
way out.
Well, they're coming down.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that leave for those of us who have already learned from this, to those who are coming down to that point before they start back up? Would you're that make us teachers then?
Correct. Teachers, helpers.
Okay. Now, on the other hand, we have a system in place now that will allow us to recover and start to teach. But you're mm-hmm. saying, let's say we go into the easier scenario, which mm-hmm. is 30 to 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Could you break that down into more or less when people start coming down, when people start people coming up?
Yes, I could, but it would take me quite a while tonight because I would have to, well, not so much the time as I would be thinking out loud and saying, no, this works. No, it doesn't work. Let's try it this way. And I would take up a lot of time going over matters in my mind, trying to get to the goal that you are trying to achieve.
Okay, well, if you could maybe
work on the format and the formula for it. Really want to work on it, don't you? Okay.
I'll just put it to be continued section after this.
Oh, okay. To be continued.
We need to continue the discussion.
Okay. But you know, the main things to look out for is continuing frivolous expenditure. Stock market going hot dogs and all of a sudden going kablooey. Welfare reform, which is both a Republican and a Democrat issue, as well as a presidential issue. What else? There's about six or seven other things that I can't think of the moment. Okay. But this will be the precursors to a desperate situation. Any questions? Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll be back. I am ring mistress. The way that you put it on the internet, that here comes back in between speakers, you'll say that here is the coordinate that introduces the next speakers. Greetings, Ross. Okay, let us cover some of Tia's issues before I cover mine. Okay, let us look at our case scenarios first of all. It is better to describe them more as possibilities than scenarios. Possibilities have a function of seeming more important than scenarios. Scenarios are something that you see on games and in military strategies. Possibilities are something that is useful, that gives people something to think about. When you're editing and putting it on the internet device, you should strike scenarios and put in possibilities.
Okay. Well, hello, Skip.
Greetings, Skip.
Greetings. Yes,
please. Take a chair and we will continue. This is a pleasure to see you.
My pleasure, sir.
Thank you. Mine also. Okay, let us give a brief dissertation. Before we do that, I will explain to Skip that the format has changed a little due to circumstances that were beyond our control and Russ's control and Mark's control. Okay, the format works this way. I give a brief dissertation. I answer questions. Tia puts on the next speaker. After that speaker, I take over and explain what the speaker meant and answer any questions that the speaker could not answer or answered inaccurately. And it proceeds that way. The reason for this, as I stated, were circumstances beyond our control. Okay, now let me get to my dissertation. Okay, concerning the development and evolutionary purpose of the mind. Now, these problems that we have been discussing concerning economic and possibilitable effects, such as depressions, welfare reforms, political expenditure, and a frivolous nature, as Kia puts it, are all key elements into the learning process and how the mind interacts with these learnings. The reason for these learnings with such abilities as healing, manifesting, coercion, astral travel, psychokinesis, all have an interconnected network within these learning patterns. Those people that seek knowledge, astral travel is the way to do it. Those people that seek to control and teach, coercion, again, is a very useful tool. Those people that are put on your planet for the higher purpose of helping, not only through education, but through their manifesting capabilities, that have that unique gift of being able to create nothing or something out of nothing, from a pile of debris on the ground to a useful tool, such as a truck bedspring being created into a piece of art, a fanciful piece of art at that, but a very useful talent in itself. And another unique group of individuals, the healers, that are put again for a higher purpose on your planet to help, heal, and educate for a spiritual pathway, not only for themselves, but for other people, those lucky individuals that have the opportunity to come in contact with healers of exceptional gifts that can take away their pain and make them feel better and accelerate their healing process. Lastly, the group of psychokinesis individuals. They are, again, another extraordinary group of people that have an extreme purpose, not as high as the manifestors or the healers, but their purpose is equally as important as all the other purposes. Being able to move and manipulate objects with the mind is a unique and very useful gift. They are more the engineers and the builders. Even though they do not have the manifesting capability, they have the ability to visualize and construct things that they have at hand. For example, building a wall of large blocks or a building with large blocks serves the unique purpose of being able to construct shelter quickly and rapidly. All the groups working together in unison create the ideal situation for the next evolutionary advancement of the planet. From this comes the next logical step, the step of higher abilities, spiritual awareness, and what the liberals are seeking, a utopia. But the two pathways of the spiritual and the political cannot meet due to the fact that one group is concerned with everybody and helping everybody. The other group is concerned with helping the elected few to have power over the majority. Each group has its purpose. One is the end result and something to aspire to. The other is something to look at, learn, and avoid. Okay, let us start with Skip's question, as he is dying to ask a question.
I am.
There is one on your mind.
Yeah, I'm not aware of it.
Okay. let us look at the... let us put it this way. What is the most important thing that you feel is your goal?
At the present time?
Correct.
I don't know, just helping other people. I don't have any other goals than that, Omar.
That is a very high goal, helping other people.
That's what I've done all my life.
That fits into the esteemed category of a manifester and a healer, which you are both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
So that puts you in a very unique position. Something that is able to be an objective, a goal, heading on a pathway of such a high purpose, almost self-sacrificing purpose, which is what you have done for many years. You have had the opportunity in the past to be extraordinarily wealthy, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And you have turned down that opportunity every time because of one thing that you really want to do, and that is to help. That is where you get your wealth reward. It is not a fiscal or currency reward.
One question.
Mm-hmm.
Am I ever going to have a partner to help me with this?
That is something that I really can't answer.
Figured you couldn't. I just thought I'd insert that little bit. Okay.
Okay, Russ, your question.
Okay. You mentioned about idealists looking for utopia.
Mm-hmm.
Does this reflect back to Atlantis and the same sort of utopia that was being searched for then?
Correct. But the same situation that is now also occurred. Greed, dominance, the seeking of power to control others.
So we're seeing a turnaround from that same point, going full circle.
Yes, basically.
Okay.
But not quite. You don't have long-distance space travel. Admittedly, it did take approximately 6 months to travel from Sirius, as it was then, to where you are now, to your planet.
Quite a long time.
Well, for us, it does not take that long.
Right.
But for you and your current technology, traveling at your current speed, it would take approximately
6 years.
No. You do not have light travel, do you?
That's right. 6 light years.
Correct. So you're talking at your current speed. It would take approximately 150,000 years at full speed. Doesn't work.
You can't build anything that big to hold that much fuel.
You couldn't build anything that would support anybody for that long.
Well, the fuel is unimportant. Once you are in motion in space with its nature, you continue at that speed. For example, let us say you are on the space shuttle. You're outside the gravitational field of your planet. You fire a rock off into space. It will continue. Let's say you fire it at 5 miles an hour. It will continue at 5 miles an hour indefinitely until it reaches a gravitational field that alters its speed and trajectory, or until it hits something.
No, it could hit something, come off its gravitational field, and it could shoot off at a faster speed.
Correct.
Or it could be sucked into the gravitational well of the body that it hits.
Correct. And ultimately stops. But where you are now is the starting point of where you could go, or the finishing point of where you have been. Okay, next questions, please.
Tell me, I can put that all on the internet.
Yes, okay.
Why couldn't you use a gravitational field as a slingshot effect to acquire the speed of light?
Oh, you can. You can, but your ships do not have the shielding necessary to withstand the extreme heat that is generated from a gravitational source that has that potential. Your nearest source is 93 million miles away. To get there would take approximately 6 months. To have the correct trajectory to be able to hit it and to create the necessary slingshot to be able to do so. If you were to use somewhere like Jupiter that does not have the heat to get to the point where it would be able to sling you at the appropriate speed, would crush the vessel. Because of the gas and the depth that is needed to generate the speed.
Okay. In other words, our technology isn't high enough.
Not yet. But it will come soon. Soon is a relative term. When you have seen the Aurora Borealis 100,000 years ago, and it is like yesterday for you. Soon is a relevant thing. To you, soon is tomorrow. For me, soon is maybe 1,000 to 2,000 years. Okay. Interesting vessel. Cut glass, I believe. Okay. Now, where were we?
About soon.
Soon, yes. Soon is a relevant term. What is soon for one person, for a child? Soon is sometime within the next 30 seconds, within the next hour. For a teenager, soon is sometime this afternoon, possibly tomorrow morning. For a young adult, somebody in their mid-20s, soon is tomorrow, maybe next week. For somebody that is a mature adult, soon is sometime, maybe next week, maybe next month. For an individual that has been around for a while, soon maybe next month, the month after, but no more than maybe a year. So the term soon is a relevant term to the individual. It is a little bit like Einstein's theory of relativity. Everything is relative to everything else from the observer's point of view. That is something that is needed to be reiterated. From the observer's point of view, all things are different than another observer. Russ.
What is soon for you?
Soon is maybe 100, maybe 1,000 years.
Now, we're mentioning with Skip that helping others is a high goal in signs of the healer and manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the same for like work, you know, what I'm doing with the internet is sort of a form of manifestation.
Yes, it is, in a way.
So in essence, everyone is really a manifester.
Because to a point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What determines the fact that they are a true manifester?
How they use it.
Explain.
For example, let us go back to the bed spring from the truck.
Okay.
Skip will be able to understand this better. What is the bed spring from the truck now?
Just a spring.
No, it is not just a spring. I'm making a reference to a specific bed spring from a truck. The long, flat piece of metal.
Yeah, it's the load spring.
Yes,
but
what have you done with one?
I'm sorry.
What have you done with one?
What have I done with one?
Mm-hmm.
I've made pry bars out of them.
Mm-hmm. But you made something very special out of one. Something that you lug around. I may be inaccurate in saying it's a bed spring.
No. You are inaccurate. That's just a piece of mild steel stock. That wasn't a spring.
Okay. But that is an example of manifestation. Something of beauty has been created from something that was lying on the ground.
Just a piece of steel.
Mm-hmm. That is a true manifest. Taking something that is a piece of dull, inanimate metal and turning it into a work of art. That is manifestation. Taking a pen and a paper and creating a piece of literature that is pleasing to the heart, as opposed to something that is dry and boring. Being able to create a fluid, moving sentence on a computer screen, and being able to place it with the gift that you have for technology, is a form of manifesting. A different form, admittedly, but it is manifesting your thoughts into designing a page. Being able to take pen and paper and create something from nothing is manifestation. Being able to see an object not as it is, but as you want it to be, is manifestation.
And then taking thin air and turning it into something solid.
That is true manifestation.
Correct.
But also the other things, taking a lump of metal and turning it into a masterpiece of art, that is true manifestation. Different kind, certainly, but it is true manifestation.
Right. I saw it that way.
I do it almost every day.
A couple last things for me, unless if you have.
No.
Okay.
No
more questions. In the future sessions, a couple things I'd like to work on before July.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is shielding, how
mm-hmm.
to.
Okay. Next week.
Okay. Fantastic. The other thing is, I'd like to get working on a couple movies that are coming up here by July. One is Contact,
and the other one is Men in Black.
I'm sure Carl already passed that on.
Yes.
Their relevance to how our life or our society is evolving in regards to other races.
I have not had the opportunity to witness these Contact or Men in Black.
Well, they're just previews right now. They're not out on screen until July.
Oh, we have our ways of getting access to
them. Well, it's kind of like I'd like to see if we could get some kind of update on, where that's going. Not only that, but, we're seeing, as I pointed out to Mark this evening, a commercial showing a spaceship coming down and aliens suddenly materializing into this Lincoln Continental or something and loving the whole feel of it. And if aliens came to Earth, this is what they'd drive.
Yes.
Oh, but okay. it shows where, we're taking a newer view towards extraterrestrials.
No, not quite. It is not new. It is a circular motion.
Okay.
Or circular motion.
And this goes back to our comments on Atlantis?
Correct. That your medium for entertainment has always had a cycle. Last year, I believe it was the aliens are bad.
Yes.
The year before that, they were good.
Right.
E.T.
Right.
Science. Yes, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. They were helpful and benevolent. Then they turned bad. Then they turned good. Then they turned bad. So it is not something new. In fact, I believe you asked me a while back about Cocoon.
Right. And Star Trek and Star Wars.
Correct. And so on.
So it's just circular, and we are coming full circle again.
Correct.
It doesn't show any preparation that's being made toward real contact, though, I take it.
Not at this time, no.
Okay. All right. That pretty well ties it all in together. That's all I pretty much have.
Okay. Thank you.
No, I have nothing. Thank you.
No problem. Live long, prosper, and I'll be back.
Skip!
Yes, darling.
How's it going?
Great, how about you?
Oh, it's going good. Good, better than these two. So, what can I do for you? Before I get the next person on.
You can manifest me a lady.
You're having lady problems too, huh?
Well, no, not really. I don't have one.
Oh. But Judy?
Well, she's a nice lady.
Your friends.
I'm sorry?
Your friends.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Sometimes it's good to have a good lady.
Very, very good friends.
That is wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. Any questions for me, apart from manifesting you a lady? Besides, I'm not a manifester. I am an astral traveler. In a PK head.
Just had to tease you.
Oh, good. Okay. Next speaker. Hello.
Carl.
Hello.
Hello, Skip. Good to see you.
My pleasure.
It's been a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah, quite a while, in fact.
About 6 months.
Yeah, maybe even a little longer than that.
I think the last time you were up was sometime in October.
It could be. Yeah.
My, that's 7 months.
Sure is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow.
This is the 6 month I've ever done of our calendar.
Yes, I know, that's what threw me. It would be 8 months.
Yeah.
My man sucks tonight. As you,
yeah, it's been quite a while.
Yes, it has.
Sorry about that. I just haven't had the opportunity to get up here.
Well, these things happen, unfortunately. Lots of snow and floods and avalanches and mudslides and forest and fires.
Water.
And water.
And water.
And more water.
You got that right. You love it. We've had a whole bunch of it the first of this year.
Yes, you guys need to buy life vests. You
I'm
know.
Sorry.
Life vests.
Life vest? No. Oh,
Flotation devices.
No.
Why not?
Never thought about it.
I'm joking.
Being nice.
It is a...
But you do it with such a straight face, I can never tell.
I know. Your air humor is sometimes very difficult to follow. Syrian humor is something that you take... cynicism and use it as a humorous tool. For example, yes, you have a lot of water. Maybe a life vest might be in order sometime in the future. That way it's a play on words.
Mm.
You take the cynicism of the possibility with the past and you have a humorous